Do you like my stole today? Do you like Pastor Trav? Who do you think came up with this idea? I like him. But my wild and crazy associate pastor, Pastor Travis, he's causing me to be young. And sometimes that's painful. April Fool's Day? Did you say something about me?
No,
did
I? No.
Okay, no. May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Your journey from our gospel lesson today. Let me ask you, how would you characterize your life up until now? If you had to pick one predominant theme or one word, what would it be? Would it be success? Would it be frustration? Would it be happiness, anger, disappointment, depressive, adventurous, despair, joyful? What word would you choose? Now, of course, if it's right after the death of a loved one, you would say sad. But if you just got married, you would probably say happy. At least I hope so. All right. But I'm talking about the big picture. Even in the very young, there are some themes arising from your life. Some things that characterize you. So let me tell you a little bit about my life, my journey. I am a youthful 64-year-old pastor. Would you agree with that? Thank you. Thank you. There's one who's not agreeing, but he's the main reason right now why I'm staying young. It's like when you have a little 2-year-old in your house, you know. Keeps you on your toes. Now, I was a happy middle child of 5 growing up in the suburbs of Baltimore, Maryland. My dad was an engineer. My mother was a homemaker. I went to a Lutheran elementary school, and I believed in Jesus. Bullied in middle school, public school, I was the opposite of a handsome young man. Okay, I was downright ugly. I was an ugly middle schooler and very, very, very unhappy. I moved on to a Lutheran high school. Everything got better. I was a very good student. But I'm not innately smart. I'm a hard worker. Went to college, Valparaiso University, joined a fraternity, Tau Kappa Epsilon, Teak. Had way too much fun, endangering, possibly, my scholarship. Went to Germany as an overseas student my junior year. Pursued the absolutely beautiful, gorgeous Susie Micah, way out of my league. Here's one for persistence. Had an enlightenment there in Germany, felt called into the ministry. At seminary again, I was a very good student, top student, but not because I was, again, innately intelligent or smart. I really wasn't. I just worked so hard. On call night, I thought my reward was coming. And then to my shock, they sent me to Alabama to start a church. What, Lord, did I do? What professor did I offend? First year there, disastrous. Was I really called in the ministry? Should I go? Nothing against this. Go sell insurance. That's what a lot of pastors did back then if they couldn't be a pastor. Second year, God had mercy. The years after that, very, very happy and really loved living in Alabama. 14 years in all. Then before we left Alabama, the most devastating, the most horrible thing happened to our lives. March 21st, 1990. Stacia Karen Ellsrode, full term, stillborn. Her death rocked our world. Tremendous grief. For some reason, all these years later, this year in particular, I have really wept over that death. Later in Tennessee, Susie's cancer diagnoses two times again rocked our world, our journey. But let me tell you what word would characterize my life, my journey. And that word would be joy. Jesus, what a difference you've made in my life. Just like that song, only for me it's Jesus. What a difference you've made in my life. And it's not just my word or my characterization. Millions of Christians and a lot of the people in the earlier services have told me that's their word too, or some derivative of it, joy. Now, there's a big difference between the words happiness and joy. Many of you already know this. Happiness depends on happenstance, on circumstances. Joy is connected to this day, Easter. It's connected to Jesus and what he's done for us. So you can have terrible, horrible circumstances, but joy isn't killed. Joy isn't canceled. It may go on a small hiatus, and it did for us when we had that stillborn. But then it arises, becomes the dominant theme of our lives. C.S. Lewis, that great Christian writer of the past generation, entitled his autobiography. Do you know what he entitled it? Some of you know. Surprised by joy. Surprised by joy. It is what Jesus can do to a life. In fact, I think it's the typical thing that Jesus does to our lives. He brings the joy. The scripture from the Gospel of Mark that we heard Pastor Travis read, that I'm using today in this message, is not preferred by pastors. You know why if you listen carefully to it, because it ends with the women who went to the tomb trembling and bewildered and so afraid that they went away saying nothing to anyone. But I think you can understand this. Just put yourself there. No one had ever heard of or seen a resurrected person. Maybe the fear that they had was more like awe and astonishment. Shock, we would call it. They didn't know what to say. And so they ran away afraid and said nothing to anyone, at least for a time. But when they finally saw him with their own eyes, this Jesus who was really alive, who they had seen that was at one time really, really dead, well, it changed everything. There is no scientific evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. None. But there is a boatload of historical evidence that he indeed rose from the dead. The disciples' transformation from fearful, cowering cowards, followers of Jesus, to incredibly brave and courageous believers can be explained only one way, with only one fact. They saw him with their own eyes, their own physical eyes. They never wavered from that. Even though they were tortured and put to death, they didn't deny it. We saw him. Now, the difference between those disciples and me and you is that they actually saw the resurrected Lord with their own eyes, and we haven't. But I believe them. I believe they told the truth. The Apostle Peter puts it this way in his letter, which is in the Bible, and it's sent to you and me. I really resonate with this. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I believe the testimony of those 11 disciples. I believe it. And I believe what the women said, that they saw Jesus risen from the dead. And therefore, every word that he spoke is absolutely true. It colors my world. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. You know what that tells me? That my journey is going to end up in a great big reunion. Yours too. I'll get to see Stacia again. She'll be young, and we'll talk and talk and talk. I'll see her there again, and maybe I'll understand why the Lord had to take her, because I think she might have been the one strong-willed child that we had out of our four. I just have this imagination that she's going to be spunky. I'll be able to handle it there. And I'll see my father, Stanley Truman Elsrode, who was always called Bill. Maybe because he had that kind of funny name, Stanley Truman, you know. And I love talking with my earthly father. He was sort of a self-taught genius in my eyes. We have a lot of catching up to do. What will they be like? Young, alive, ageless. I don't really think it matters much what they'll be like. I'll know them, and they'll know me. And then we will see the one who made it all possible, Jesus, and our joy will be complete. And everyone will know Jesus, and he will know everyone. That's going to be a day. I can hardly wait. Let me say this clearly, something I hope many of you already know. We can go through some really terrible, horrible, dark days where all happiness has fled and sorrow and anger and desperation fill our hearts. But if you believe in Jesus, a light has been lit in your life. You can call it the pilot light of faith if you like, but it's been lit in your life. And it will shine again, and it will dispel the darkness. It always does. The deep sadness and darkness that loomed over us at Stacia's death, and yes, comes once in a while back to us, is driven away. Faith in Jesus and his love and the sure hope of the resurrection put an end to that darkness, and we had joy again. And then the Lord did another thing to kind of put an exclamation point on it. 1 year later, we had our son, Stephen. And he has been, not to say anything about the other three, but he brought true joy to our lives. He's still doing it. So I've talked to you about my journey. But your journey can be essentially the same. Yes, with different details. When you have faith in Jesus, Jesus who died for you, Jesus who rose for you, Jesus who forgives all your sins, then you will have a persistent undergirding of joy. Or any of the derivatives of that word, blessed, goodness. Easter is always a call from God to believe in His Son. It is a call to give up your pride, your self-righteousness, your delusions, your denials, to repent of your sins and believe in Jesus and live for Him. It's the call of today. Can't you hear Him calling to you? If this is all new to you, I absolutely assure you it's true. I know it to be true. I know it in my experience to be true. And just like the disciples, I'm not going to lie to you. I want to be as authentic as I can. You can know joy in your life right now. Maybe you're a long-term church attender, but you have done so begrudgingly, dutifully, apathetically. Your parents have had to push you out the door, or you've had to be pushed by your spouse to come to church. So whether you're still searching, or whether you're an unenthusiastic churchgoer, what you need right now is a consistent exposure to the Word of God. When you're consistently exposed to it and you take it to heart, it is by this Word of God that the Holy Spirit comes into your life and reorganizes your heart and creates faith in you. And faith always brings joy. Always. Let it begin today. And more importantly, let it continue next Sunday when that dynamic Pastor Travis will be preaching. And he'll keep you on his toes, your toes. Yeah, in your case, sometimes it's your toes, his toes, right? We enjoy one another greatly. If you see us kidding, right, right. Because, see, he always remembers he's the associate pastor. For now. He is behind me, isn't he? For now. So your journey and my journey are intended to end in the very same place, where our joy will be complete in heaven. I sincerely want to see you there. I'm going to introduce you to my daughter, Stacia, and my father, Stanley Truman, Bill, right? But I won't have to introduce you to Jesus. He'll know you, and you'll know Him. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.